Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
With us again today for our life study is Francis Ball.
Francis, welcome back to Life Study.
Thank you for inviting me back. I enjoy being here.
Francis, our verses today from Hebrews today are a quotation from Jeremiah, and they really define the New Testament revelation. I wonder if you would familiarize us and our listeners with what we are going to see today.
Well, the best way, I guess, Chris, to familiarize ourselves with what is before us today is to come to this quotation in Hebrews chapter 8 that was taken from the book of Jeremiah. In this portion in Hebrews, it says this, "For this is the covenant which I will covenant with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will impart my laws into their mind, and on their hearts I will inscribe them, and I will be God to them, and they will be a people to me. And they shall by no means each teach his fellow citizen and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all will know me, that is, inwardly know me, from the little one to the great one among them." These two verses really point out to us the new covenant that God has brought us into. There was a covenant with Israel in the Old Testament, but they were not obedient. They did not continue in that covenant, and God set them aside. And this new covenant includes not only Israel in the future, but also includes us Christians today.
Francis, this is the focus and topic of our life study today. Let's join Witness Lee.
God's eternal purpose is to work himself into all of us and make all of us the same as his firstborn son. The firstborn son of God today is a standard model for God's economy. We all have to look at this model. We know he was originally the only begotten of God. Now he is ultimately in glory. He is not only in glory, he is in glorification as the only begotten. He was in glory. That didn't need any glorification. But with his humanity, while he was on earth, he needed to be glorified. So in the last night of his life on earth, he prayed in John 17. The opening word of his prayer is this, "Father, glorify thy son, that the son may glorify you." The human part of his being needed to be glorified, needed to be processed into glory. And he got it. He got it.
Amen.
The New Testament in Luke chapter 24 tells us that in resurrection, he has entered into glorification. This word perfection in the New Testament means ultimately glorification. If you are not glorified, you are still short. The New Testament perfection is glorification. We all have to see today on the throne as well as in our spirit. Amen. There is a man glorified.
Amen.
There is a man fully perfected.
Amen.
What is the perfection of the glorified Jesus? Number one, divinity mingled with humanity. Number two, this humanity has been tested and resurrected and uplifted. I'd like to ask you to agree with me to have a new English word. That is S-O-N-I-Z-E. He was the Son of God, but he was clothed with a humanity which had nothing to do with God's sonship. But one day, he brought this humanity into death. And through death, and out of death, by this humanity was resurrected. By what? Romans 1:4 says, by the power of the divine life. The humanity was synized into God's divine sonship. So, with his resurrected and uplifted humanity, he was born, the firstborn Son of God.
Amen.
This day the Father said, I have begotten you, and the day of resurrection.
Francis, this was a wonderful section dealing with Christ, the firstborn Son, being glorified. As we discovered when we were in the life study of Romans, there is more to this matter than just Christ ascending into glory after his resurrection. What does it mean that Christ not only entered into glory, but he entered into glorification?
There is a tremendous difference here. Most of the time we consider that just in his ascension he entered into glory, and that was kind of a change of position or something. At least we think of that in this kind of term regarding ourselves, that one day we're going to be glorified. But we never realized what had to transpire for this glorification to be real. Christ, as the firstborn Son of God, in this message we have heard, he is the firstborn Son of God and is the standard model for all of us. So we are in God's economy for him to work out this very thing. Now, through incarnation, that is, through Christ coming as a man, divinity put on humanity. This is the person of Jesus Christ. This Jesus went to the cross, and through that he took away sin. He destroyed the devil, and we heard how he terminated all the negative things in the universe, how he went into Hades and even gave Hades an opportunity to do what it could. Then he walked out of death and into resurrection. In his resurrection, he uplifted his humanity. He came as a real, genuine man. And in that humanity, he lived out a divine life. But in his resurrection, he entered into glory. And not only into glory, but he entered into a glorification. This glorification is different than just transplanting from one place to another. This is a process that he went through to bring him into glorification. His humanity at that time was what Brother Lee called being sonized, brought into the divine sonship through resurrection. So this is a process of brought into glorification, which is much deeper than just the thought of entering into glory.
The word you just uttered, process, I think is very key to get a proper understanding of glorification as opposed to, as you have said, just changing addresses or location. we need to be in this process where the element of glory, God's expression, is really being added to every part of our being, don't we?
Isn't that marvelous? It's much deeper than just kind of a religious practice.
It's much deeper. Francis, thank you. Let's go back to more of Witness Lee.
You have to look at the model. Now, look at him now. What is perfection? That man is perfection. Amen. With the divinity as the only begotten Son of God. And that man with the humanity sinized as the firstborn Son of God. And that man with all negative things as a history on the other shore. And that man glorified in the golden situation. In his glorious perfection. I tell you, this man is called perfection.
Amen.
He is perfected. So he's qualified. The Holy Bible says, when Christ was resurrected, you were reborn there. Then he went into glorification. He went into perfection. Now, he is interceding there. Interceding for what? For our being glorified. Interceding for our being saved to the uttermost. I just cannot tell you how many times I heard the message telling me that Christ is interceding for me. But not one told me that this interceding of Christ is for me to be saved to the uttermost, to be brought into perfection. When we had a little trouble, the pastors used to tell us, Christ was interceding for us. Just that much. They misused and still misuse Romans 8:34, Hebrews 7:25. They misuse these two verses concerning Christ interceding. They never see that Christ interceding is for us to be glorified.
Amen.
Is for us to be saved to the uttermost.
Amen.
To be saved into his perfection.
Amen.
My, what a difference. Christ would not do that kind of low job. Interceding for you, that you may have a little comfort, and that you will not exchange word with your dear wife, and you will pick up a little more patience, and so forth. Is this the meaning of your life?
No.
What is your goal? We all have to see, what is the perfection revealed in the New Testament? To have your whole being processed into his glorification.
Amen.
To have your whole being saturated, permeated with his glorified and uplifted whole being.
Amen.
This is the perfection that is revealed in the New Testament.
Amen.
To overcome sin, that's too low. To have more patience, that's too low. In the New Testament, you have the category of perfection. That is Christ today as interceding for you. That the life seed which he has sown into your spirit may be motivated to grow, to develop, to saturate every inner part of your being. Until one day you'll be fully saturated and permeated with his glorified and uplifted being. Then the day will come That is the day of the redemption of your body. Amen. And that is the day of the manifestation of the sins of God.
Amen.
And that is the day no more groaning, no more vanity, no more bondage, no more corruption. This is perfection. And this is the glorification.
Francis, a few days ago we had a marvelous message about Christ as the great high priest interceding for us all the time. I believe most of us that heard that message took a great deal of comfort from that word. But today, upon a little closer examination of this portion, his intercession, though it surely is comforting to know that he's interceding, but what he is concerned about in this intercession is not always for our immediate comfort, is it?
No. We like to take a lot of comfort in this when we're going through certain kind of experiences. But we have to realize God has an eternal plan. And this plan is all worked out by setting up a model. And this model was Jesus Christ. And we have to look away from ourselves, from all of our circumstances, look away to our model. He is in perfection, and we are on the way. Now, we need to realize what this perfection means is not just that we are going to become perfect without sin, without any failure, without any problem, without any trouble. No, His interceding for us is not to deliver us from trouble in that kind of way. His interceding is to bring us on the way to glorification that He Himself has entered into. As a man, He has been glorified, and He is interceding now for all of us to bring us on the same route that He came. Perfection in the New Testament equals glorification. That means we are on our way to being glorified by being saturated with Christ Himself, by His constant infusing His very life and nature into us. This intercession that you spoke of results in the manifestation of the sons of God in full.
A much deeper thought. Francis, we have a great conclusion. Let's join Witness Lee for that.
Now we come to the law of life. What the law of life is working within us is just to saturate our inner part with what the standard model is. The law of life today is just working the standard model into every part of your being. This is what the New Testament calls the transformation. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How could your mind be renewed? By the working of the law of life to make you a reproduction of Him, to make you a reprint of Him. Eventually, you do not only have Romans 12:2, but also 2 Corinthians 3:18. With an unveiled face, like a mirror, beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into His image. From one degree of glory to another degree of glory.
Amen.
As it is by the Lord's Spirit. I tell you, this is the issue of the working of the law of life within us. And eventually, this will conform us to the image of God's firstborn son. Romans 8:29. All his brothers will be conformed to him, the firstborn son of God. The firstborn son of God today is the standard model, who is now the perfection, and who is now in glorification. But we are not yet. The most, we are on the way. On the way. While we are under the process, he, the firstborn son, at the model there, is interceding for us. And his interceding will motivate our inner life seed to develop, to grow, and to permeate our whole being to transform us and to conform us to his image. Eventually, we will be also in his perfection. Amen. We will be also in his glorification. I tell you, this is the issue of the working of the law of life. Deep within you, you do have the sensation. Nothing can satisfy you but this standard model. He is interceding there for us.
Amen.
For us to be glorified.
Amen.
For us to be brought into his perfection.
Amen.
Praise him.
Amen.
This is the work of this law of life within us.
Francis, we have to look a little closer at this final word here. This word points us to the strong evidence that Christ's intercession is effective. We heard it said that deep within us is the sensation that nothing can satisfy us but this standard model. Strange words, Francis, but I believe that we nonetheless can relate to this speaking. Help us understand this word.
This is a real wonderful aspect to sum up this whole message and realize that how all this matter is being worked out is not by our becoming perfect or in our becoming more knowledgeable in the Bible, but it's a matter of a law of life that's operating within us. And this law of life is the working of Christ as the standard model into our being through the process of what the New Testament calls transformation. We have to realize that all the things that are happening to us day by day are an answer to the intercession of our great high priest. I was comforted a lot also, as you mentioned, in that message that talked about Christ interceding for us. But we have to see what he's interceding for us is to make us the very same as the firstborn son of God. So our model is the one who was divinity but brought into humanity. He was both God and man. Now, by receiving him as our life, we also have a divine life, and we have a human life. Now he's operating in us by the law of this divine life to make us just like himself, so that we will become just like our model, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the standard model, and deep within us, we have the sensation that nothing else can satisfy us except this standard model. This is a strong proof of Christ's intercession that we be brought forward into his perfection, which is glorification.
Francis, this is a message that almost we should play again just to get it all. This is marvelous. It's opening our eyes in a very fresh and real way to the depths and the riches that are really embedded in this book of Hebrews.
This message, Chris, is really needed among Christians. So many have felt that you receive Christ, what he did at the cross, and that's it. That's all there is. You just wait. No, he is ministering to us by his intercession to work the very nature and the very element of what Christ is into our being so that we will enter into glorification just as our standard model has already done.
Appreciate your being here today, Francis. This was very enjoyable.
Thank you very much.
For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde.